You're listening to Gameplay with Matthew Cause on TSN 1050. Embrace the odds.
I want winners.
So I'm seeing this sandwich that is available if you go see the Kansas City Royals in Kansas City. The Reese's, the barbecue Reese's sandwich. It's pulled pork, sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce, bacon, and peanut butter cups. Reese's peanut butter cups with bacon and pulled pork and barbecue sauce. Yes, that is the exact reaction. I would 100% try it. Part of that sounds disgusting, but remember, the whole sweet and salty combination is a wonderful one, and it looks like this is low on sugar and calories, so this is a very healthy meal, whether you be a vegan or are, you know, someone going full keto. May I recommend the new barbecue Reese's sandwich when you go see the Kansas City Royals? Also, this stat I love. Joey Gallo, who is hitting like 160 on the season. The Yankees traded him away to the Dodgers. Since the Joey Gallo trade, the Dodgers are 6-0 after sweeping the San Diego Padres, and the Yankees are 0-5 after getting swept over the weekend by the St. Louis Cardinals. Baseball, it is a very, very weird sport. Gameplay on TSN 1050 is brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Some other stories going on in, that's been happening. Oh, by the way, I should also mention that Mark Masters is going to join us at 3:30. And we'll look ahead to the August edition of the World Juniors, which kickstart on Wednesday right here on TSN 1050, Latvia versus Canada, 5:30 pregame, puck drop just after 6 o'clock. I think I heard the whisper from my producer that Chris Meaney is on the line, and he's been on before, great guest, host of Mean Streets and the Dangle Bet Sally podcast, stakeholder with FTN Network, FTN Fantasy, FTN Bets, basically everything FDN related. Chris, thank you so much for joining the show. And I just want to get just again, could you explain to the audience where they can find your work and the work that you do with FTN?
Yeah, I appreciate that. We have our own FTN Network YouTube page where we stream a lot of our shows. Streets is a Monday to Friday show at 12 Eastern. We stream it. It airs on Game Plus Network at 2 Eastern. We actually launched a couple new shows over at Game Plus this week, Game Plus Network, and a part of Anthem Sports and Entertainment. MLB Picks and Props, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We stream that at 1:30. It airs at 6 Eastern on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And a brand new show with Eric Young, who is, people may know him from his work in the ring, but also my co-host, Dangle Bat Selly, which is a hockey show. We'll be back very soon, but we have Set Bet Spike, which is kind of like a little bit of a spinoff of Dangle Bet Selly. And it is a football show on Tuesdays and Thursdays, streamed live at 10 Eastern from our FTN Network YouTube page, and again on Game Plus at 6 Eastern on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We're just rolling through some NFL team previews as preseason got underway.
I was watching. Yeah, it's funny. And by the way, here's the versatility of Chris Meaney. At one point, he is talking about the NFL. I think it was the Baltimore Ravens previewing the Bengals. And in the middle of it, you mentioned Patrice Bergeron's new one-year deal with the Boston Celtics, or Boston Bruins, excuse me. So certainly a lot of versatility. So once again, what's the best website? If you could tell one website for people to go, where do they go?
Well, if you're looking for just fantasy football content and season-long content, it would be ftnfantasy.com. If you're looking to, dive into maybe a little bit of betting and things like that, ftnbets.com. But we do have FTN Daily as well. But I'll throw out FTN Fantasy and ftnbets.com. Our betting package is you get all the sports, all the picks, access to some tools and Discord channel and all those things. So I appreciate the plug off the top. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I sometimes want to do that because on this show, we're bringing in more people that have more of a relationship with sports betting. And I want to make sure that people at the top sort of understand who they are listening to. You mentioned on your show just about like monitoring and keeping an eye on what's going on with it is super early, but early NFL mock drafts. And again, for people out there that aren't into fantasy, Chris's answer here, it's a fantasy football answer, but really all it is it's football preview for the 2022 season. So I'm curious what you've been seeing in any early mock drafts, any trends or that have stuck out for you.
Yeah, it's, some people will certainly, dive a little bit too much into some practice reports. I know you definitely want to follow them. You want to see some, players that are getting, first down opportunities, first down reps, second down reps, running with the first team offense. Now, most teams will, maybe give their star running backs a little bit of a break in some of those practices. But we are seeing some rookies and some sophomores get a real opportunity to run first team offense as we get closer to the NFL season. There's a, for me, for mock drafts, you start to get it. I've been doing them for a couple months now, and you start to see some players certainly rise up draft boards. There's a couple rookies in particular that I think are in really good landing spots in anywhere from rounds maybe 8 to 10. There are 4 or 5 rookie running backs who could make some noise this year in the NFL. I'll start with James Cook out of Buffalo. The Bills haven't had a pass catching running back in quite some time. Now, Devin Singletary can do a little bit of that. And, you got to go all the way back to LeSean McCoy in Buffalo days when they really had a running back that can give them something out of the backfield, take a 5-yard screen pass and take it to the house. So Cook, brother of Dalvin, who's with the Minnesota Vikings, is a great pass catcher himself. But the Bills were really after a pass catching running back. They thought they had J.D. McKissic, who was just 2 years removed from 80 catches with Washington. They thought they had him signed. It didn't work out. He went back to Washington. And then they spent a second round pick, which is pretty significant to spend a second round pick on a running back. Buffalo Bills don't have a lot of holes on their roster. They're Super Bowl favorites. They have a really complete team on both sides of the football. But Cook gives them something a little bit more. So I think he's in a decent landing spot. He's starting to move up draft boards a little bit. I think there's certainly value with Damian Pierce, Houston Texans running back, who really only has to battle with Marlon Mack, who's a veteran back who hasn't really done a whole lot over the past couple of seasons. He's like 3 or 4 years removed from his best campaign, which was a 1,000-yard season with the Colts, but he did rupture his Achilles a couple years ago, and I don't think he can really handle full workload. And Rex Burkhead, another veteran back who's on that squad, so Pierce doesn't have a lot of competition. He's running with first-team offense. I know it's the Texans. They're going to be playing from behind a little bit. I think he can provide maybe 30-plus catches as well. And then one more rookie running back that I think is starting to jump up draft boards, but I really, really think he's a solid pick in around round 9 or 10, is Tyler Allgeier, who I didn't really love coming out of college, but he is a big body back who can catch the rock out of the backfield. But I just really like his landing spot. I'm talking about 2 running backs on teams that aren't going to be really good this year, in Houston and Atlanta. But sometimes that's everything. It's opportunity. I think both of these rookies are in really good spots to lead their team in touches, first down, second down, goal line work. Cordarrelle Patterson had a really strong season last year. That could be the outlier. He's been around for a few years on multiple teams, and good on Atlanta to kind of make it work with him there. But he's not a running back that can handle 10 to 15 carries between the tackles. Like, Allgeier should be the lead there. Damian Williams is on the roster, another guy that's not going to run between the tackles. So those are 2 running backs that I think are in really good landing spots, and they're getting an opportunity right off the hop to be the starting running backs on these teams.
Yeah, it's important what Chris is saying, that it's not just about talent, it is also about opportunity. And I feel bad for Cordarrelle Patterson. He's very talented, but no one trusts him. It just looks weird. It looks weird seeing him in the backfield. I don't trust the jersey number. It doesn't work for me. So here's a question I've been throwing out a lot. Who are you more afraid of drafting, Ezekiel Elliott or Saquon Barkley?
Oh, great question. Both of these guys are going outside the top 10 at the running back position. I think they can be both game changers. I think I'm more willing to roll the dice on Saquon. He's had a couple freak injuries lately. The offensive line is revamped in New York with the Giants. I thought they had a pretty good draft. And Brian Daboll coming over from Buffalo to, you know, New York is such a huge win. It's an acquisition that I don't know if people would talk about that being a top five addition to a team. They'd look at maybe, you know, a quarterback deciding like Russell Wilson to Denver, or like running backs going from another team, or wide receivers like Davante Adams or Tyreek Hill, Miami and Las Vegas. But Brian Daboll is a heck of a play caller, and he did wonders with Josh Allen. You saw a big leap from year two to three. I'm not saying Daniel Jones is going to make that kind of leap, but he's just a really good play caller. Last year, we saw no creativity at all with the Giants, whether it's Jason Garrett or, you know, Joe Judge. I think they ran a quarterback sneak from their own 8 on 3rd and 8 last year, which is just...
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. I'm a Giants fan. I remember that moment. Yeah. I remember that moment.
You remember that one. You know, Saquon had moments last year. There was a game against the Saints where he flashed a little bit of what he showed as a rookie, catching balls out of the backfield. You know, already in practice, they got guys moving in motion, which is just key, right? Dable's going to bring some creativity to that offense. So I'm willing to roll the dice on Saquon. You know, Zeke had a down year, but he still finished with 1,000 rushing yards and double-digit rushing touchdowns. But it was a career low in terms of opportunities, attempts on the ground, targets and catches. And Tony Pollard's a really good running back, and he's going to be sprinkled into that backfield as well. There's no competition in New York. So as long as Zeke can stay healthy, this is a guy who should finish top five in touches.
Yeah, the Brian Daboll is definitely a huge improvement. As a Giants fan, I'm still stuck in Gettleman nightmares, and so there is no joy in my heart. We're joined by Chris Meaney from the FTN Network, FTN Fantasy, FTN Bets. You mentioned Russell Wilson. Before the injury, the first 5 or 6 weeks, he was one of the top guys in so many different passing metrics. What are reasonable expectations for both him and the Broncos offense now that it's certainly an upgrade from what they had at the quarterback position?
Absolutely. This is a team that I think is a Super Bowl contender now that they have Russ, who has won a Super Bowl before and has been to a couple. You know, the defense is very, very strong. The offensive line is good. They got probably one of the better 1-2 punches out of the backfield in Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, who had a really good season last year and they decided to bring back. You know, a tough blow for them last week to lose Tim Patrick due to an injury. He led the Broncos in end zone targets last year. He was going to be one of my sleeper wide receivers. But, you know, two really strong weapons in Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, and Russell Wilson was able to support Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf for years. And Russell Wilson's been one of the most accurate quarterbacks since we've seen him in the NFL when he was drafted in 2011 from Seattle. And, he fell down draft boards that year. I believe he went in the 3rd round. And he's one of the better quarterbacks in that class. You know, just looking at some of our metrics over at FTN, Cortland Sutton was inside the top 10 in deep target percentage, deep target targets. Those are targets of at least 20 yards down the field. He stretches the field, and that's what Russell Wilson is known for. You know, he did that with Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett also among the leaders in deep target percentage. And Russell Wilson, nobody threw more passes 20 yards down the field than him. He was actually tied with Josh Allen, but he played fewer games, as you mentioned, with the finger injury. So I think this is a match made in heaven for these two guys. Russell Wilson, Cortland Sutton, you know, high ADOT, average depth of target down the field. Didn't really have any accurate quarterbacks in Denver over the past couple seasons. And now he gets Russell Wilson and Jerry Jeudy too. I mean, he's just, things haven't worked out for him perfectly yet since he was drafted a couple years ago, but he has shown flashes. And he is a terrific route runner. He just had an injury last year. And again, poor quarterback play. So I think both of those guys, I would rather have Cortland Sutton. I think he has top 15 upside. But Jerry Jeudy, I wouldn't sleep on him either. You know, I think he can be a strong wide receiver too. But Russell Wilson's going as a top 10 quarterback, and I certainly think it's warranted. That division may be the best division in sports.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy. The Chargers improved defensively significantly with J.C. Jackson as a corner and Khalil Mack. The Raiders got Adams, as I mentioned, him and Derek Carr had like a season together that's, you know, very video game-like. Adams flirted with like 2,000 yards and Carr threw for like 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. And those guys are going to have a rapport together. They got Chandler Jones out of the backfield. And then you still have Kansas City. You still have Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs inside that division. So it's not going to be easy for Denver and Russell Wilson, but certainly they're one of the most improved teams with that addition.
Yeah, I would say the AFC West, and the only other division that I'd say is as good is the American League East in baseball.
Absolutely.
If you just want to talk about dominant divisions in sports. As we let you go, let's see. Not enough time for my Packer question. Okay, player you are most afraid of drafting this year. Some guy who's projected high, and you look at him, and you see storm clouds coming ahead, like some fishermen at a lighthouse where they go, storm's coming, boy. Who's the one guy where you're like, ooh, avoid him?
Oh, yeah, that's tough. I like everyone. I make cases for everybody.
No, you got to go the other way. Who's your high-end Julio Jones? You can't say Julio Jones.
Yeah,
no one's
fair.
Liking Julio Jones. Who's the high-end Julio Jones?
No. I think A.J. Brown. I think A.J. Brown leaving Tennessee and going to Philadelphia, a new system, that's exactly what the Eagles needed, an alpha wideout. And it's probably the best 1-2 punch at wide receiver they've had in years in Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. But, you know, A.J. Brown is getting drafted as a top 10 wide receiver. The Eagles led the league in rushing yards last year. They played at a slower pace. They got one of the better offensive lines in football. Jalen Hurts led all quarterbacks in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns. I don't feel like, you know, A.J. Brown goes from one run-heavy team in Tennessee to another run-heavy team in Philly, but there was really nothing else in Tennessee. You mentioned Julio. He hardly played in Tennessee last year because he was on the sidelines. In Philly, they have Smith. They have Dallas Goedert. You know, they have Miles Sanders and Kenneth Gainwell catching balls out of the backfield. So it's a tough landing spot. I think it's a really good real-life move. The Eagles traded a first-round pick. They locked him up. Like I said, it's exactly what they needed. But for him, like if he had a 27% target share in Tennessee, if he has a 27% target share in Philly, given the amount of passes that Hurts had last year, we're looking at maybe 7 targets a game. That's really rough to draft a wide receiver, you know, going ahead of Keenan Allen, who's been a 150-plus target guy in each of the past few years. So I'd say he would be the guy that I would avoid. He'd be the bust if you're looking for an Eagle. I think the only guy you probably want in that offense is Jalen Hurts, given his rushing upside.
Chris, I really appreciate it. Follow me on Twitter, at Chris Meany. Always appreciate you taking the time, and we'll get you back on soon just because, well, football's right around the corner. It is a glorious time to be a sports fan.
It really is. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. We'll talk about those Packers next time. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Take care. That is Chris Meany, again, host of the Mean Streets podcast, the Dangle Betselli podcast. And again, just go to FTN Network. You'll find all of his work. We're going to stay with football, and there is a really cool debate going on in the CFL involving an undefeated team and a unprecedented quarterback. That quarterback is Nathan Rourke, and actually you can hear him on Overdrive. He's going to be on with the boys just around, I believe it's around 6:05 today, so he will be joining the show then. But we get in the CFL next. But first, traffic. Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I am your host, Matthew Kaas. Hope everyone is having a good Monday. Is the air conditioning working where you are there, producer Chris Horvath? I know you're in the backup studio at TSN. By the way, you've been dominating that backup studio. No issues at all
yes,
today.
We had that discussion earlier today, and I am
showing who's boss.
Following through on my promise.
Yeah.
Yes, it is quite cold in here. Thankfully, 20 fingers in the morning always has the main studio cold, very cold. I would say it's like a refrigerator to the point where I have to bring a sweater to work in the middle of summer. But with that being said, very cool, better than the heat. I hate the heat. I am done with summer. Please bring on fall weather.
Okay, hold on. Wait, okay. Okay, I'll say this in 20 seconds. Everyone loves fall weather because it's in between. What do you prefer, this right now or when you... didn't you have a driving in snow, salt stains, shoveling? What would you prefer, that or this?
That, for sure, that. I've grown up as a winter person my whole life. For me, the way I look at it, it is much easier to warm up when you are cold than it is to cool down when you are hot. The last week, I feel like I'm living in a swamp. It is humidity, it's sticky, it's sweaty, it's gross.
I hate it. I'm covered in sweat right now. I'm only wearing a basically like a pair of boxer shorts because I'm alone. I'm glistening in sweat. I will still take this over 12 inches and good luck.
No way.
We don't have time. We're going to debate that another day. Give me the Rod Smith sound. He was on First Up this morning. Aaron Korolnik was asking a question. Who should be the MOP? Should it be Zach Collaros and the undefeated from the undefeated Winnipeg Blue Bombers or Overdrive guest today at 6:05, Canada's newest star, BC Lions quarterback Nathan Rourke? Here's what Rod had to say.
With Collaros, it's less about this season, although it's been great, but more about just the body of work, especially since arriving in Winnipeg. That's one of the greatest individual stories I can even think of in the history of the CFL coming in. Like everything, what's transpired is it's uncanny. But to look at what Rourke has done this year, equally uncanny. And when you look at what he has done in his first year as an established, you know, starting QB, I mean, given the reins now with a lot of questions coming in, partly because of the Canadian quarterback stigma. But on the sheer numbers, how would I handicap it? I would probably give Rourke the edge right now just because the numbers are just off the charts. Whereas with Zach, they haven't been as much off the charts, but his winning record and everything he's done for Winnipeg, as I say, it's truly amazing. But it's a great question.
And here is the cool thing. At the beginning of the year in the CFL, a big story emerged. Nathan Rourke, a Canadian. And yes, he played his college ball in America. But a Canadian who was not only starting for the BC Lions, but dominating. 400 yards, 3 or 4 touchdowns, like every game. Then they played the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and Winnipeg won. And Winnipeg kept winning. Now, they're not dominating anyone. And Dave Naylor threw out this tweet, this crazy stat. Winnipeg is 9-0. They've outgained their opponents by a grand total of 1 yard. So they're winning, but a lot of them close wins. But the Winnipeg Blue Bombers beat Calgary a couple times, looking great. Now the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, 9-0. How far can they go? Can they get to 10, 11, 12? Then they sort of wrestled away the storyline. They became the big storyline. And then on Saturday night, Nathan Rourke, in the first half, had almost 400 yards passing and 5 touchdowns against Edmonton. That's incredible. That's insane. That is nuts. And he'll be on Overdrive after 6 o'clock today. And it is such a cool story right now. If you're the casual football fan, this is the stories to get into. A Blue Bombers team that's won the last 2 Grey Cups, 9-0. Or a Canadian who right now is playing better football than maybe anyone else in the CFL. It's pretty cool. By the way, the Argonauts beat Hamilton over the weekend, and now they got a bit of a cushion in the East. We got to take a break. On the other side, we are going to be joined by Mark Masters. We're going to talk all about the World Juniors, which gets started again. Yes, I know, it's August, but here comes hockey. Me, I love it. I love the fact there's August hockey. Oh, it's the summer. You can't have it. Oh, no, more sports in your life. Really? Going to complain about that? We will get into that for traffic, and traffic is brought to you by CIBC. Switch to CIBC Smart Everyday Banking and get up to $400 plus smart spending insights so you can make smart choices. Eligibility and other conditions apply. Visit CIBC.com/smart. Time now for traffic. Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I am your host, Matthew Kaas. I'm looking at the odds for Canada versus Latvia at the World Juniors, which kicks off Wednesday. Canada is favored by 6.5 goals. Now, I have no way to know which way to bet on this, which is why I got my next guest. Mark Masters is joining us, TSN hockey reporter. Mark, good afternoon. Thank you for joining the show today.
Good to be on with you.
So we will get into all things hockey and preview what is to come, but how different is this environment for you versus last time? And I mean this from the, you know, like we were joking about everyone fleeing and leaving you alone there because unfortunately you had to stay in Edmonton because of a positive COVID test and had to self-isolate. But the fact it's in August, the incredibly dark clouds over everything Hockey Canada, I mean, the compare and contrast this versus early January must be stunning.
Yeah, well, it feels so different. I'm kind of intrigued to see what it's actually going to feel once the games get going for real. And Canada, I guess, plays on Wednesday here against Latvia, as you mentioned. So I'll be intrigued to see what the feel in the building's like, what the crowd is like. But yeah, even the camp's been shorter. They didn't do a selection camp, so there was no cut. You mentioned the stuff that is going on around Hockey Canada. There wasn't as much media coverage leading into this. There was one day there was no media there. I was at the women's camp that was also in Calgary. They've been up in Tsuut'ina Nation, Alberta, for the last week, the World Junior team, doing some training camp practices and team bonding there. And now they arrived in Edmonton last night. So we're getting our feel for what the city's got to offer. But obviously, considering everything that's going around, it is feeling really, really kind of bizarre right now.
How much of it is overshadowing, you know, the conversation about Connor Bedard, about who's in net, about you know, eventually games between Canada and the United States, or just how much of everything with the scandal and the people that are stepping down, how much of that is overshadowing actual hockey talk?
Yeah, I mean, it is for sure. There's days where the coverage, when it comes to the, you know, our World Juniors, is takes a back seat to the developments that Rick Westhead and other journalists are following when it comes to the scandal and the allegations. So, yeah, there hasn't been a lot of drilling down on, you know, who's the starter and, you know, who's the best fit on that top line beside, you know, Connor Bedard and Mason McTavish and all that sort of stuff for sure. It's just the way it is. And rightfully so, yeah, considering the gravity of the situation. So it has been strange in that regard, because we're so used to, and usually in the December camp, you show up and immediately you're drilling down onto these positional battles to see who are going to be the odd guys out. And this year, it's kind of the camp just kind of came and went over the week and over the last week. And maybe now it changes a bit that there's a game. There's a big scrum for Coach Dave Cameron this morning. Now that we're in Edmonton, a lot of the local journalists, of course, are out. So we'll see if that changes a bit. But it's been a really quiet build-up for the actual team in the actual tournament.
Yeah, the thing is, once it gets started, it'll become about hockey. Once it's Canada versus the United States, it'll be about hockey. And mm-hmm. and I'll say the obvious part on the front end. The number one individuals that I feel sorry for are the alleged victims in the stories we heard about mm-hmm. what happened in 2018 or 2003. And of course, any and all sympathy goes towards family, friends, and any terror that might have, you know, that might have come from this. On the other side, I feel bad for the players on this team. You know, this is a very special time for them. Like some of them, that legends can be made, careers can be pushed forward, and incredible experiences for these guys. And it, I don't know if it'll feel the same if it was earlier, if it was in New Year's, if it wasn't with, you know, everything going on where Michael Brindamore, is stepping down, the chair of the board of directors for Hockey Canada. So I feel sorry for the players themselves, because the focus, rightfully so, isn't just on what's on the ice.
Yeah, that's, you know, Mason McTavish, the captain, he said there's a little extra pressure. I don't know if pressure is the right word, but a little extra scrutiny on this year's team, a little extra weight on their shoulders, just because it's the first World Junior since everything came to light. And that's just the reality. I mean, it was always going to feel different because we're in the summer. There's nine guys that were here in December that aren't back for a variety of reasons, whether it be injury, fatigue, or just gearing up for their NHL camp. So already there's a different feel. And then, of course, everything that you just laid out and that we've been talking about has contributed to it. I will say that they haven't shied away. I mean, certainly it's been uncomfortable questions at times for the players because
– yeah.
They're part of the system, but they're also not part of the teams that have faced the allegations. But I was impressed with the players I talked to, because they went through a sexual violence workshop earlier in the camp, and they spoke really well about the embracing that and asking questions and talking about subjects like consent and being educated in a way that maybe they haven't in the past. So I was impressed with that, and they're all in on trying to be part of the solution and moving forward in that regard.
Joined by our hockey reporter, Mark Masters. And Mark, when people go, you know, I might not watch as much because it's going on in August, I'm like, you're ridiculous. Who doesn't want more sports? It's you know, you get four CFL games. It's NFL preseason. I don't care about that. The Jays have got 48 more games against the Baltimore Orioles. Give me some hockey in August. I am all for it. Also, I get jealous staring at ice as I'm right now glistening in sweat, but I'm in a non-air-conditioned room where I am. So it's a long-winded way of me asking, Mark, what are some of the things that, like, if you wanted to get people hooked into the tournament, which starts Wednesday, Canada-Latvia, a game you can listen to on TSN 1050, what are some of the big on-ice hockey storylines that you're keeping an eye on?
Well, it's Connor Bedard, right? I mean, that's the headliner. Last time I saw him play a World Junior game, he scored 4 goals, youngest guy to ever do it at that level. That result got wiped out, and now he's back 7 months older and wiser, and he was scintillating down the stretch in the Western Hockey League. He's good, you know, the projected first overall pick in 2023. He's skating on the top line with Mason McTavish and Joshua Waugh, the Montreal Canadiens prospect. He's on the top power play unit. Remember, when he made the team, first of all, he was on the bubble to make the team in December, and he was the 13th forward to start. It didn't take him long for him to move up, but now that he's back and he's just a little wiser, a little bigger, a little stronger, he could just take over this tournament. So I'm excited to see what he does there. From a Leafs perspective, Matthew Nyes on Team USA, Koki Niemelä on Team Finland, Ronnie Hirvonen on Team Finland. So I'm sure Leafs fans will be plugged in to see those guys. From the other group, and everything's in Edmonton, so there'll be no crossover. Like, there'll be no you can watch every game. Sometimes, you know, early in the tournaments, there's, you know, one game starting in Red Deer, the other game's going in Edmonton. Every game will be on its own at this tournament, just like in the bubble in Edmonton a couple of years ago. So yeah, Bedard is for me the headliner, and then I there's gonna be a lot of talent. At least fans will be engaged, I'm sure, for those prospects I just named.
Yeah, that is a good point. Once again, Mark, it goes back to my very difficult position. What do I do? Matthew Nyes scores for the U.S. against Canada, and it's an incredible moment of athleticism that looks like it can translate to the professional game. How am I supposed to feel as the Leaf fan at that moment?
You're gonna feel. Hopefully, it's the one American goal in a 3-1 Team Canada win or something like that. But that it's a it's you can just embrace good hockey, right? You just embrace good hockey, especially in the summer when we haven't seen high level hockey in a while. I mean, I think you're gonna be happy to see any nice plays right now.
Yes. Yes, 100%. Hey, Mark, really, really appreciate. And, you know, it's weird, but I'm thrilled that it's going on. I'm thrilled that you were there. Like you would come on, and I would do my normal jackass thing, and we would joke about it and laugh about it and what you were watching in the hotel room. But I'm glad you're back there, and I'm rooting for you as well, that you can, you know, do your job properly and just enjoy the moment as much as can be done under these circumstances, considering what happened last time to you, early in January.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird – we didn't even mention Russia's not here. The whole point the only reason Latvia is here is because Russia and Belarus aren't available. Belarus was going to be the team coming up, and so they didn't replace Russia. So Latvia really gets called up out of nowhere. So, yeah, I don't know. What did you say the line was for that Canada-Latvia game?
Six and a half. Yeah, I was looking at FanDuel, and it was 6.5.
What was it, 11-2 they beat Austria? 11-3 or something? And I'd imagine a similar script to following that type of game, but we'll see. The plucky Latvians maybe are able to surprise and keep it close, but they're going to be tough. I think it's a back-to-back for them too. I think they play on Tuesday, so could be for the Latvians.
Yeah, I got to tell you, when it's Plucky versus Powerhouse, take Powerhouse and the points. Plucky's a nice Disney story on the ice. Plucky usually goes home with a big loss.
Yeah, but don't forget, the Germans, a couple years ago in the bubble, they showed up, everyone had COVID, they were playing a man down, and they got thrashed by the Canadians. They ended up making the quarterfinals and giving Russia a good battle. So it's not how you start, it's how you finished, and who knows, maybe the Latvians will win over some fans. That's part of the fun of the tournament, is the crowd gets into it. I remember in Toronto how they rallied the fans, the Slovaks, when they went on that amazing run to the bronze medal, I believe it was. So you never know what will happen. That's the fun of this kind of World Junior event. And I feel like it's going to be even more unpredictable just because there's been changeover for the teams. And we're in the middle of the summer, right? Dave Cameron's saying there's going to be odd man rushes and turnovers and more space. So it could be a lot of fun hockey in terms of, I'm sure not for the coaches, but from an aesthetics point of view and just watching it, it could be even more mistakes than usual. And there's usually a lot of mistakes because it's junior hockey. So buckle up.
Love it. Mistakes. It's like the first month of an NHL season. Give me the mistakes before those stupid coaches get their hands all over the players and everyone's playing responsible hockey. Ah, no time for responsible hockey. Mark, a pleasure. We will chat soon. Again, first game, Canada versus Latvia. Wednesday, you can listen to it right here on TSN 1050. All the best. We'll chat soon, my friend.
Sounds good.
Take care. That is Mark Masters. I love right now on my Twitter account, Carlo Koliakovo and one of their favorite guests from for First Up, Adam Chernoff, senior strategist for Covers.com. They are throwing tweets at me where apparently there was a fight at New York Giants camp, players brawling and coaches shoving. So Carlo sends that out. He's like, all good in New York. And then Adam Chernoff finds a similar video, but this one of Buffalo Bills players fighting at the end of practice, with Adam writing, just following the lead of your guys upstate, Carlo. The point being making fun of the Buffalo Bills, which is always easy to do. And I don't know if you've seen this, Chris. Some of the images of Giants camp where one of the linemen is getting dragged off and he's got like a pot belly. I got to tell you, I've never felt so good of my under 7.5 wins for the New York Giants this year. I feel so good about that bet.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I do not get the consensus hype that I'm hearing about the Giants. Like, don't get me wrong. Nobody's saying they're going to be a playoff contender. Nobody's saying they're going to win the Super Bowl. But I see a lot of people talking about how their win total is low and they're going to overachieve and they're kind of like a bit of a sleeper. I don't see that, man. I don't know what people are watching. To me, that's a team that has every bit as much of a chance to finish in the bottom five as any other team in the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we talked with Aaron Schatz from Pro Football Focus. He said, talent-wise, the Giants are pretty much right at the bottom. It's hard to disagree. All right, we do this at the end of each and every show. It's time now for Sound of the Day.
Sound of the Day, Sound of the Day.
And Sound of the Day comes from the, I believe, the Pardon My Take podcast. Is that correct? Okay, so they are interviewing quarterback Aaron Rodgers. I haven't heard this. My producer said, have you heard the clip yet? I'm like, I have not. He's like, all right, we're going to go in this together. So I have no idea. Well, let's see what we hear.
People say, immunization, vaccination.
Yeah, I did. I said that a lot.
Yeah, you did.
Yep.
But how many people do you think you killed? What's your count?
How many grandmothers? Yeah, let's just do grandmothers.
I mean, I know you guys fucking around. I don't find that part funny. I really don't.
Oh, my God. How many grandmothers did you... They threw that at Aaron Rodgers. I gotta say this. That takes courage. Now, people can be offended by that, and people can laugh at that. And however you take that clip, I find it funny. Because I like the awkwardness of it. I also like the bravery because they did that. That was not done over Zoom. That was done in a room with Aaron Rodgers. Do you know how hard it is? Face to face. Like, for them to ask that question, not only does that take guts, but they are going to burn bridges. Not only with Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers has an agent. And that agent represents other players. And those players may never go on that podcast again. The Green Bay Packers, when do you think they will allow another guest to go on the Pardon My Take podcast?
Somewhere between now and never.
How many people did you kill, Aaron Rodgers? Let's just stick with grandmothers.
Yeah.
Listen, comedy is at its best when it pushes the line, where it sometimes goes over that line a little bit, and it tests the line. Well, they certainly did that. That is absolutely worthy of Sound of the Day. That is absolutely worthy of it. It is entertaining. It can be cringeworthy. It can be, for some, they'll find it hilarious. For others, they will be offended by it. Every emotion is rightfully justified. And that is the last time Aaron Rodgers will be on that podcast. I feel that would be a good cowardly bet of the day, Chris Horvat. Aaron Rodgers to never appear on that podcast again.
Minus 100,000.
minus 100,000. All right, so coming up right after this show, we do have Overdrive and Nathan Rourke, the Canadian quarterback who is lighting up the league, is going to be on just after 6 o'clock. Brian Hayes, Dave Feshchuk, and Frankie Corrado, they got you covered. Remind everyone that Game Plan TSN 1050 is brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more and get your winnings fast when you download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. That will do it for me. Coming up on tomorrow's show, yeah, we'll get more into Jays taking on Baltimore and all things Kevin Durant. Raptors, stay away. Please stay away. But first, time now for a News Talk 1010 traffic update.